Hello, happy Saturday. Welcome back to Brutal, the podcast where we're brutally honest because honestly, it's brutal out there. I have to apologize because I went to my best friend's wedding, which was the most exciting weekend of my life. But as a result, like three of us lost our voices from like screaming, crying, dancing, etc. I don't know how dancing is related, but you know what I mean. And so now I sound like a frog and it's like making my vocal fry even worse. By the way, thank you to the reviewer who said that my vocal fry is distracting. Honestly, it kind of is. God bless. Today, we have a really fun guest. We have Charlotte from Welcome to the Peasant Party. She is joining us. She's another TikTok friend who makes just amazing content. It's largely focused on like graphs and charts and like flow charts. I love her content. I think it's so fun. She takes like a really fun and lighthearted approach to talking about some dating topics. So, you know, go to her page, check it out. Welcome to the Peasant Party on TikTok. She is awesome. And she had some really good, I think, like well-balanced perspectives for us today. But yeah, the weekend has been good. I am proud of myself for not procrastinating until the last possible moment to edit this episode. So that was exciting growth. And I also went down to Canal Street this week and I got some good shit. I'm not gonna lie. Anyway, before we get into the episode, we got a few comments and then like submissions of emails and questions this week. So let's get started. All right. This one actually came in three parts. It's a long boy. So get ready for that. They say, just wanting your thoughts on whether you think what we're doing is bad or if it's just our way of reducing the gender pay gap. So my flatmate and I recently downloaded Hinge for a bit of fun, not seriously at all. For example, we use the fake names we go by in town and at bars, etc., but real photos. And we are using it as a way to go on heaps of dates without a single intention of anything more. We essentially just wanted free meals and free cocktails. And would line up dates back to back. For example, went on a double date one Sunday. And then I was dropped home. And then in about 5 minutes, my next date showed up at the door ready to take me to dinner. At first, I didn't give what I was doing a second thought. I'm really just doing it for the plot and because it's fun. But lots of these men send numerous follow-up texts. I stupidly gave them my number. And then I feel bad when they say they thought we had an amazing connection. After I send the I don't think I see it going any further text. And because they have just spent like a solid amount of money on me and I have just blatantly lied to them, I'm starting to feel a bit bad. And the entire date, I'm making up lie after lie about myself, like these elaborate stories, and they just eat them up, and then they spend all this money on me, and I'm starting to feel bad. What do you think about it? Should I stop, or is it not that deep? Oh, my God. You gotta stop. You have to stop. This is not right. It is funny, to be clear, but it's not right. I don't think anyone should be going on dates with, like, the express and sole intention of, like, getting their meals paid for. I actually had a roommate that used to do this. She was like a Craigslist roommate I had for a summer one time when I was like sleeping on a air conditioned side porch that they made into a room. And this girl was eating good. Like she was eating for free every single night of the week. It was like a different guy from OkCupid. She had literally no intention of getting more serious with any of them. But she was going to some really nice restaurants. Like I get it's all in good fun. Like you're young, whatever. But like for guys that seem like they're actually looking for something serious, it's not right. You can't keep doing it. That's why you feel bad. Like, that's why you feel guilty. Because, like, deep down, you know it's not right, you know? You got to stop. But what I will say is, like, to anyone else listening, the reason that these men are becoming obsessed with her after these dates is because she literally does not care. Like, the fact that you are, like, when you're actually completely emotionally removed from the outcome of the date, you act so different than when you go on a date and you're like, will he be the father of my children? Because when you don't care what happens, you're yourself, you're having fun, you're probably like a joy to be around. Whereas when you go with like all of these like pressures and intentions and desires and like, you know, they feel that, they really feel that. So yes, you should stop. It's not that it's that deep. It's just like not right, you know, it's fun, like have fun, but it's not the right thing to do. And it's also like, it may not be good karma. It may not be good karma for your future dating. Who knows? I'm not sure that I believe in karma quite so literally. But you never know. So like just to be safe. All right. The next comment that I want to talk about. So I made a video basically saying that if there's a girl in your man's life that you have to like ask him to stop talking to at all just for like you to feel comfortable, it's already like it's over. Like there's no, why do you even want to have to ask that? Why do you want to be with someone that you have to ask that? And this girl commented and was like, yep, like this happened to me. You know, he ended up getting with her openly after he dumped me, but I don't know how to accept that he chose her over me. And I bring up this comment because I feel like this is something that a lot of women feel really deeply, right? Like whether it's a cheating situation, whether it's like a, you know, their old boyfriend, their ex-boyfriend's like dating someone they perceive to be like better than them in some way. I think it's really common for women to sometimes feel like, you know, why her and not me? Like, why did he choose her? And I think that when you have this mentality of, oh, I'm going to be chosen or I'm not going to be chosen, like when you put the power in someone else's hands, it's always going to make you feel small. Like it's always going to make you feel like it's, you know, elementary school, dodgeball all over again. And you're standing there in the gym and like everyone's watching people pick each other for teams in dodgeball. And you're standing there sweating like, please let someone pick me, pick me. And like, even if you do get picked, you do get chosen, the feeling is kind of hollow. Like, wouldn't you rather say like, I'm the one who chooses like myself for my own life. And I choose to not be with someone who would prefer to be with another woman over me. Or I choose not to be with someone who like treats me badly or like doesn't appreciate me, you know. You got to flip the script on yourself in your head. Because I think when you have the mindset that other people are the choosers in life and like you're just an option that could be chosen, you are going to feel like a victim. You are going to feel disenfranchised. You are going to make decisions that like aren't right for you because you're like, I just need to be chosen by someone, you know. Sorry for the tough love, but it's your life, so you can choose to do whatever you want within reason. Okay, I think that is all we have time for. I really want to give most of the time this episode to Charlotte. Guys, please write in your questions to podcastbrutal@gmail.com, comment on my TikToks, DM me on Instagram, submit a question through the Linktree form, link in bio. And yeah, I'm so excited for you guys to hear what Charlotte has to say. Let me know what you think of the episode. And have a great rest of your weekend. Okay, amazing. We're live. Cool. All right. Hi. Well, welcome back. This is Brutal episode 14. And I am so excited to be here with Charlotte from Welcome to the Peasant Party. Her TikTok account is, are we road to 60K? We're approaching 60K.
We're getting there. We're at 58.5, I think.
All right, let's go. So yeah, she's best known for her amazing viral TikTok account where she makes a number of charts and other diagrams and a number of other really good videos with other content talking about dating, talking about relationships, all things in between. So I'm so excited for her to be here and I will let her introduce herself next.
Well, hello. Thank you for having me. Super stoked to be here. And talk through the trials and tribulations of dating and relationships in the year 2022. We're wrapping up the year.
God, we really are.
Oh my God. Yeah. I guess to give like a quick intro of how I got into doing what I do. Had a weird, like, I think it was like a brunch with a few friends. And like, I had a friend that we just got into like a scuffle about what this like talking stage is. I referred to some guy that she used to date, cause I call it date, as a guy she dated. And she like quickly corrected me. She's like, we never dated. I said, yeah, you did. You were, you know, dating for 2 months or so. And she's like, we were talking. And then it was like, it ended on agree to disagree. I don't like ending conversations on agree to disagree. So had TikTok, like I'm in digital marketing. So, you know, I'd always been on it sort of, kind of. And then drew up a little chart and then said like, you know, I've declared war on the term talking stage. If you're going on dates, it's dating. You know, people kind of wonder why these like talking stages don't progress in relationships because you're calling it talking. That's just my opinion. And it got a bunch of buy-in, I guess, from people, you know, like liking it, commenting on it, thinking it was, you know, something they would agree with or disagree with. People were, you know, very, very hard pressed on their terminology for that. And then just someone in marketing, trying to navigate TikTok, kind of realized like, maybe I've got a niche here. And then I think another pet peeve I had was, and you know, some of my friends as well, was just people weaponizing the term ghosting. So people, yes, matches on a dating app that just like drop off. You put your apps at your phone in your pocket, you no notifications on, you open your app and you've got these like hostile, you know, like, why didn't you respond, you stupid bitch type of messages.
Crazy.
Exactly. Or just kind of, you know, on the flip side of thing, the frustration when you would get like, you'd go on a date, it wasn't a great date. You know, kind of figure like, I'm not, I don't need to say, I don't see this going anywhere, like, unless they hit me up. And then you get this like long-winded like text rejecting you for a rejection that for something you didn't even want. And it was like, what is ghosting? Like, you know, what exactly is that? So made this like ghosting scale. And when that blew up, realized I had a niche and then just kind of kept going from there. So that's kind of me. Backgrounds in digital marketing and analytics. I tell people I'm not an expert. I point to the term peasant for a reason. But I have fun with it. I like being like a commentator, casual observer, just kind of poking holes in all the nonsense on TikTok and hoping to move to some other platforms in the near future.
I love that. That's amazing. And I totally agree with you on the talking stage. Like, I just have such strong, my thing is if you have gone on like at a certain point, like if you've gone on a certain number of dates, like you dated, it doesn't mean you were in a relationship or like boyfriend, girlfriend, but you dated, like you definitely dated. I just think like the talking thing is stupid. Like I'm not really, I don't like T into T. Like I'm not like a texter. So I don't think that talking stage should even really exist. Like, I don't think you should be talking with someone without ever like seeing them or meeting them like for long enough for a talking stage to even exist. Like, that's my issue with it. It's like the pre-meeting talking stage that I take like major issue with, because I'm like, you're either going on dates or you're not. Like, why are you talking to us? Like, you know, people say like, oh, we were talking for months, and I'm like, did you ever meet? And it's like, no. Like, what?
Yeah, no, those are always weird too. And maybe it's just like living in Austin. I know you're in New York, which is even bigger, but just like it would be so easy where it's like you match with someone on a Sunday and like you make sure that this person kind of checks out and the date's on Tuesday. Right. So, and maybe that's just the luxury of living in a big city where you've got bars and restaurants all over the place. But I was always someone where it was like, okay, this person checks out, save that conversation for the date. But I do know people where it's like, they like go back and forth and it's like, we've been talking. It's like, why are you like twiddling your thumbs with a stranger? Like go on a, like,
they're literally a stranger. You might never meet them. Like,
yeah. Like I think it's so weird. Like, honestly, like, I don't know, when people do that for too long, like they like drop off for me, like anyway, but yeah. Like, I don't know. I don't get it.
Well, I just think it's like people emotionally, like they hype it up in their minds. So like when they're like talking to someone from like a dating app or from even just from like Instagram or whatever, like someone they really never see in real life, but they're talking or they're texting or this or that, like every single day, they start to like become delusional and they think that there's like a real relationship there. They think there's like some sort of allegiance or like connection. And it's like, in reality, no, you're literally just like typing texts like to a number in the void. Like, they're not your fucking boyfriend. But anyway, so you live in Austin. I don't remember if I told you this, but I lived there for 6 years.
Yeah, I think I remember like you say, or maybe I've like seen it in a video or something, but yeah. How is it like going Austin in New York?
It's different. So like I'm from Jersey. I grew up like 20 minutes outside the city, and then I was living in Boston, and then I moved down there when I moved back up here. But I just basically was like there for work. But so curious to get your thoughts on the Austin dating scene, because it's definitely unique. I feel like it's such a transient city. Like, people are moving in, people are moving out. Like, when I was there, I feel like everyone was kind of like, the average tenure of staying in Austin was like 2 years, 3 years max.
Yeah. The more things change, the more they stay the same, kind of the same ordeal. Yeah. People talk about the Peter Pans is a common vernacular that people say a lot. But basically, adulty Disneyland, where just, you know, everyone's disposable, bunch of people moving here, bunch of people thinking I won't be here long term. This is kind of like a place I'm gonna land for a little while. And I think the way people date reflects that. Yeah, I mean, and then just kind of the like going out scene to it. Yeah. But at the same time, like anytime you ever talk to anyone who's in like a major city of sorts, you know, even if it's like a notch down from like the New Yorks, the LAs, the Chicagos, it's all the same. In Denver, they just have skis on, and in Nashville, country singers, and here they're wearing cowboy boots and, you know, saying hookup and stuff. So I think I don't think there's any right. I don't think anyone would tell you like there's a perfect city for dating. Yeah, as a whole.
No, I feel like everyone's suffering everywhere, and it is what it is. But people are always like, no, my city's the worst. And I'm like, no, all of our cities are the worst.
They're
like,
all bad. They're all bad.
It is what it is. But how long have you been there?
I've been here for 4 years. September of 2018. And then
awesome.
Yeah, bought a house here 2 years ago.
Oh my God, congrats.
Thank you. It's been fun. It's been quite the project. So yeah, as far as I know, I'll be here a while. But anything can happen. I like it here. Like you said, dating scene's kind of weird. It's kind of fun to see like all my friends go through it as well, just because this is like an age where people, you know, kind of really get to know themselves and what they want in a relationship, or sexually. Like, you're starting to see people where they come across like, hey, there, this person's in like an ethical non-monogamy policy.
Yes.
I have people that have found that, or I have people where it's like, you know, married with a baby and like, you know, the drama that ensues with like a married couple and like having kids for the first time. So I think that perspective has given me a lot to work with in terms of content versus just like everyone kind of doing the same thing. Like, I think you'll see like a lot of like younger people where, you know, all their friends are doing the same thing. So they've kind of got like one view, or they're, you know, a lot older, all their friends are married and it's like another type of view. So I think I'm at like a good age for like perspective and stuff.
I totally agree. It's like, it's that weird time where like some of your friends are literally married, living in the suburbs in a house, having a baby, doing the whole thing. And then some people are like going out 7 nights a week. And it's like, wait, what's happening?
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay. Awesome. So, I mean, well, I think, okay, my opinion on your content is just that like everything you make is so, it's like so generally like lighthearted, which I love. I feel like on TikTok, especially sometimes you open it and like now it feeds me all like dating content or like men versus women, like content, like it's angry. And I'm like, damn, is that how I'm coming across? But like, I love your content because it's always funny. It's always like lighthearted. The charts, especially, like tell me about the charts, tell me about the diagrams. Like they are growing increasingly advanced. Yeah.
They're growing. It's so funny because sometimes like someone will come across like an old video and be like, I disagree. And I'm just like, how the fuck did you find this? Like, because like they used to be way worse. And I think I've kind of like come into my own with like how I explain stuff and not getting too wordy. I think also just a big thing that came for me, like obviously kind of fell into the niche, but as I was, I guess, evolving would be the right word for it. I remember I would see obviously those like angry men with microphones talking about what women should or shouldn't do. For some reason, they bought microphones with their Christmas money and think they know what 30-year-olds think about.
Yeah.
But you'd see those. And I would see like influencer dating takes, like just like, you know, just wealthy influencers, like obviously tons of followers already somehow ended up talking about dating. And I just felt like their advice was just so out of touch. It almost felt like they were coming up with like theories and rules just to, you know, have something that they could slap a logo on and sell merch with it. And just like tie their name to. And I was kind of fed up with that. Like, it was just like, first off, like, I don't think this is true. I don't think this works. And I also think personally, the best type of dating advice is more, you know, it's kind of like diet and exercise. Like, if you think of like, how do you lose weight, diet and exercise, I think dating is kind of similar where it's like, you know, you go out in the world, you put yourself out there, there's going to be some hurt. But the thing is like, you tell people that and it's boring. Everyone's heard that before. So if you go and try to find a way to make it fun, put it in like a PowerPoint, it's like, that's different and healthy and kind of fun. So I had that kind of mindset where it was like, this advice isn't healthy, but also it was just like all these rich people trying to give dating advice from like their ivory towers and stuff too. I'm like, we need like an average person doing this. Like, I know I'm not a professional, but you know, if this chick can do it, I'm going to do it too. So fuck it. Here I am.
Oh yeah. I love that. Yeah. I like that. So speaking of influencer theories, I feel like I either saw it today or yesterday. I don't remember when. The days are just like blurring together. Your thoughts on box theory. Like I know, and I remember first seeing the video for box theory and I guess like, you know, I don't like it because I think that it implies that there is no way that like your behavior could ever change someone's opinion of you, like, which I just think is bullshit. Like, I don't know.
No, 100%. So I think it's both an anti-woman and an anti-man take at the same time. Like, I think, first off, anytime I've ever heard someone say they just saw me as hookup material, I was in hookup box, whatever, it's retroactively when something doesn't go their way, when they pretended they were too cool to want a relationship. Yeah. And that's how it panned out. Like, nobody ever like thinks going into things like they're in this box. It's like a retroactive, like, I was just in this the whole time, like as a way to lament the fact that,
oh, I never wanted anything with you anyway. Like,
yeah, it's like, it's ridiculous. So I think first off, it's like, if you own your feelings, it's like you could put yourself into a box if you just pretend you're too cool to care and act like you're okay with everything. It's kind of like, oh, cool, she's cool with this. Like, I guess we're doing this. And then all of a sudden one day you're like, oh, I want a relationship. And the dude's like, wait a second, I thought we were doing this. So I think it's on the like female side, it's like not about, it's less, I'm trying to think of like how I'm putting this. Like if you own your feelings and know what you want and communicate it, then that box wouldn't exist. Like if you go and, you know, you're asking for dates, but if you're like, okay with like, you know, come over or, you know, oh, cool. Like, are you out tonight? And you just go meet up with people. It's like, you're putting yourself into boxes. Like, I don't think like it's guys are like thinking that far ahead. I think it's really just more of like, am I attracted or not? And then it's also just like, fuck first, figure it out later. Like, I think that's how a lot of guys think. And like, if you walk into, you know, sexual activity too early, where, you know, you don't know the person well enough to know if you like him or vice versa, it can feel like you're put in a box. But in reality, it was just, you know, they figured out that, you know, you weren't for them, or, you know, vice versa. I don't know. And then I think on the male side, like, just the idea of like, you can do whatever you want, or like, men don't change their mind. I think they can, and they do. Like, I think that's also like a weird way to look at it. Like, it's the idea that, you know, a guy can't either, you know, learn something about you that where there's nothing wrong with you and you're just not compatible, or you can't do something, you know, stupid that really turns them off. And like,
yeah,
I don't know. I think it's ridiculous. And I think like for guys too, it's kind of like, oh, like trying to figure things out. I think it's more of attracted or not. And like, I don't know, things grow and change over time. I think if you've gotten to the point where someone's like, I'm not looking for anything serious, then, you know, that's different. But I think early on, it's not putting people into boxes. It's not that organized.
I think the reason that women like clung to box theory and were so like, oh my God, of course this is the truth, is because it absolves you of responsibility, honestly. Exactly. Like, I think people didn't like it. They were like, oh my God, they liked it because it made them feel like, oh, I can do whatever I want. And like, it won't matter, which is like, just honestly is not true. Like, how you treat people matters. Like, how you act around people matters. Like, how you act in romantic context, like, matters. It does. Yeah. And like, people can change their mind. Like, this is the other thing, is that I feel like on TikTok sometimes, like, men and women are talking to each other where it's like, we literally talk about men like they're not people. Like, we literally talk about them, oh, like they're God, not human, yeah, beings. And it's like, we have to relax. Like, we have to get a little perspective. But I don't like this idea that like, oh, you're totally absolved of responsibility because no matter what, he's going to see you as relationship material, or no matter what, he's going to see you as hookup material only. I just think it's bizarre. It's like, but I understand that, because I think most people like don't want to, honestly, I think most people like don't want to take accountability for their actions or inactions.
Oh, totally. And you said it way better than I could. Like, I think I'm kind of like trying to choose the words out of the air because of like how irate the whole box theory thing makes me.
Yeah, I feel you.
But like, yeah, like I think it's like, people think about it retroactively, and it's to like also just absolve yourself of responsibility. How you treat people matters. And you sometimes, and like, I don't know. And I think also just the idea, like, I think no woman wants to be called a pick me. And if you have, say for a second, you throw the word accountability out there, you didn't take accountability. It's just, it's TikTok isn't going to like you, especially just like, yeah, like it's, yeah, like, I don't know. I think the whole box theory thing is fucking ridiculous. Like, it makes me so freaking mad. And just, and then, you know, one every couple of weeks, it's like something pops up. It's like, oh, the box theory, how to not end up in hookup box. Like, God damn it. I have to make another fucking video debunking this shit.
You're like, I'm tired. I'm in the trenches.
Well, it's also just like, if what's her face can go on Drew Barrymore's show and talk about how real she thinks it is, I can make a few TikToks saying it's fucking stupid. I'm sorry.
I think it's totally allowed. Honestly, all this is just like, telling people what they want to hear so that they continue to follow you, or like continue to like you, or continue, like, people want to hear opinions that they agree with, which I understand. And like, which is your right to follow people that you agree with on TikTok. Totally. But I also think it kind of puts all of us sometimes in like an echo chamber situation where like, you're only following content that says stuff that you already agree with. It's just like reinforced, like it's confirmation bias. Like, it's not good.
Exactly. Oh, 100%. Like, if I put out a video that's like got kind of a controversial take, it's just like people ride hard for their opinions. Like, there's no room for nuance. Like, I'll put in like a kind of joke, like, oh, hey, you got me here. And it's like, no, you didn't.
They're angry.
What
do you think has been your most controversial TikTok to date? Like, the scariest one where people are fighting in the comments the most?
I mean, the talking stage has fights in the comments, but I think that one is lighthearted. The scary stuff where it's like the angry misogynist types. I think sometimes that you always get like one or two comments like those. I think one beautiful thing about like the chart stuff is like, I'm not a character in the story. Like, it's, which is nice. No one's like looking about me. I talk about things objectively. Sometimes I notice when people talk about like their own dating lives, like people, you know, you come on, you share a vulnerable story and someone just, you know, writes something horrible to you. But even then, like, I still get some snarky, like, misogyny comments. I think another one I did was you know, picked apart another influencer dating take about not sending thank you texts.
Can we talk about this? Because I, okay, tell me, go ahead first and I'll tell you what I think about this. I agree with like, don't send it, but I have a reason that's completely different than her logic. Like, I've never understood her logic behind it.
Yeah, like, So I put that up, and I think there was like one like big influencer who like put something where it's like you don't have to drag her like this. And then it brought in like the feminine energy crazies too, which like,
oh my God,
the feminine energy people. Cause I think it's like, oh yeah, feminine energy, like on the surface, great. But it started to turn into like an umbrella term for like where like anything you do that involves like owning your life means like it's masculine energy. Like is wiping my own ass fucking masculine energy? Shut the fuck up, you feminine.
Take your fucking crystals and leave, please. Yeah, like I can't.
Whatever the fuck you're smoking. I don't know what they're doing, but they can fuck off. But that one, the thank you text, no thank you text. I think that also brought out like some controversy with you know, guys that maybe are typically like pushing that more like masculine type, where it's like, no, a woman who doesn't send this is a spoiled fucking brat. But then it's like, but I also like it turned into like a whole kerfuffle. I think it was also the first time I ever called it out. Like, I hate using the term call out. It was the first time I ever tied an influencer to a take on dating and like used her image and stuff.
Publicly disagreed with an influencer, which like, sorry, but if you're an influencer, you're putting yourself out. I fucking assume that every podcast episode I put out, every TikTok that I put out is being made fun of, picked apart, and like distributed by everyone who hates me. So
yeah. And I would
expect it's okay.
I would expect people to do the same for me, which is why like I choose what I say carefully. But yeah, like the whole, and I think it was almost it, because this influencer has dropped this don't send thank you text thing. I've heard her on a few podcasts, and it's just like her, she's made it her thing.
I think it's
like
her thing. Yeah.
Like another influencer who's made box theory her thing. It's like, if you want to make something like that your thing and make money off of it, you're really going to get people ripping you apart for it.
Because you should be open to having people disagree with you if that's indeed your thing. You can't expect everyone to agree.
Exactly. And I thought it was just like an idiotic take, because it was like, it wasn't even about like, you know, it was more about like, if you do it, he'll think you like him too much. And like, I just thought it was stupid. So I picked it up, I picked it apart, and I had like an image of Shrek. It was funny. And then like, there were some people who were really defending her, in an interesting way. So one I think was controversial in some way, but I think in the right way.
Yeah. My thing is like, I feel like people should do whatever they want, right? Like they should do what's best for them. For me personally, I don't send it because I am genuinely interested in seeing how long it takes him to text me. And that's sometimes because like I go on a date and if I really like them, I honestly can't tell how it went, because I think it went so well. Like I'm like, oh my God, it went amazing. You know, like if I'm really into them, I feel like I lose that ability to like read the room or like read the signs. And so for me, the only way to like tell if he felt the same about me is if I wait and see if he texts me. Cause I've had dates where like I've gone and I really liked the guy and been like, he's for sure gonna text me, and like wanted to text him and like avoided doing it. Cause I was like, let's just see. Like, I'm not really sure if he felt the same way, and he never contacted me again. So I'm like, whoo, thank God I didn't fucking text him and extend the situation and like make myself miserable. And like, maybe he would have replied and then been polite. And then I would have been like, let's go out again. And he might've agreed just to like try to sleep with me or like whatever. You know what I mean? It's like, it leads you down this whole fucking path where I'm just like, if I just kind of wait and see, I will personally feel better. But I also know people who like my best friend goes on, like, she's so good about, she goes on so many dates, and where she can like send a thank you text and like discern the energy that's coming back or not coming back. Whereas like I am literally delusional and don't have that ability. So I just don't send them anymore.
Yeah. I've always been my thank you text. And maybe it's just because where I've lived, we like drive to date. So usually there's like a, let me know I'm safe kind of ask it anyway. I don't think like, and I would send thank yous no matter what. It would just be like, yeah, like it would just be, you know, hey, made it home safe, thanks so much. And then, you know, leave it at that. Usually it would be like, I had fun too. And then I would kind of leave it at that. And it was more of like, you know, if they send another text after that would be something. I also was just someone who liked to, you know, even if I've had the best possible date, just go home and sleep on it. Because I've had times where it's like maybe one too many glasses of wine. It's also just like, not to brag, but like, I'm a fun date. Like I could have fun with anybody. And sometimes you like go into work the next day and you're just like, yeah, that was just a fun date because I'm fun. And
yeah, did I do sales on them or did I really like them? Like
exactly. And like sometimes you don't even know what it is. It's just they're not it. And like, yeah, like I think the thank you, I think the thank you puts a pause and then, you know, they can start back up again. But I don't know. I think maybe some of it is like, like having to drive to dates and, you know, that maybe one or two glasses of wine is involved. So there is that did you get home safe kind of thing to it. But I don't know. That was just my take. And I also think, like, either way, even if you don't send them, why ride so hard against them? I don't know.
I don't know. I kind of feel like do whatever you want. For me, like, that's what works, but I don't really give a fuck what anybody else, like, if they want to do something else, they can, if they're able to, like, discern what's going on. Mm-hmm. I just generally am like, I want to be polite. That's the thing. It's like, I think if they've spent, like, if it's literally one mocktail, cause I don't drink. So, like, when I go on a date, sometimes it's literally like they buy me a club soda, buy, quote unquote. So I'm like, okay, do I really, you know what I mean? But, like, I'll thank them profusely at the end of the day. Like, I'm like, thank you so much. Like, really appreciate, like, the dinner or, like, the, you know, the mocktails or whatever, like, had such a nice time with you. And then I, like, leave and see what happens. But I'm not, I don't know. I'm also, yeah, like, I just have the propensity to get, like, so delusional when I really like someone, where, like, I just don't, the only way to know for me what's going on is, like, after that first date, like you said, like, sleep on it and, like, see if they contact me. But I know people who they don't have to do that. Like, they're not crazy, but I'm literally crazy. So it's fine.
Yeah, no, I mean, and I think it's also just, like, the whole concept of rules is just, like, I think that's where things go out the window. And I think that's where, like, all the charts and stuff came in. Like, I put everything, like, on a spectrum where it's like, this exists on a spectrum. Like,
yes.
What casual means exists on a spectrum. Like, what, you know, ghosting is, it could be a whole scale. Like, things like that, where it's like all these buzzwords too. All these buzzwords, I think, are just fucking us as well. Like, you know, everyone's version of casual, everyone's version of talking, dating, and, you know, we're boxing ourselves in with them.
Yeah. I'm like, I just need to know what's going on. Like, what has actually happened? How many times have you actually seen each other? Because this is another thing that people get, like, crazy and caught up in, is, like, people get ahead of themselves. They put the cart before the horse. They will go on 2 to 3 dates with someone, but, like, there's all this texting 24/7 in between, or there's all this, like, emotional masturbation of, like, what you think it's going to be, like, in your mind. And then, like, in reality, it's like you may have spent 12 hours with this person total, and you've already, like, hyped them up to be this, like, huge, like, figure. And it's like, no, you don't even know if you like them yet. Like, you've barely spent time with them, but you'll see people losing their mind over getting quote unquote ghosted after, like, 2-3 dates with someone. But this is the other thing I was going to ask you. It's like, we talked about ghosting a little bit. What do you think is, like, what counts as ghosting? What doesn't count? If it's one date, if it's 2 dates, like, what are your thoughts on this?
So I think personally, I think it takes 2 to get ghosted. I know so many people, first off, if you match with somebody on a dating app and they stop talking to you, that's not ghosting.
Agreed.
I think even if you switch to texting and they drop off, that's not ghosting. And you are an asshole if you send someone a message calling them an asshole, ghoster, or even call that person a ghoster because they stopped responding. That's how it works. I think, though, if you go on, like, a date, and if you just go home and wait for them to text you, you can't say that's ghosting. I think to truly be ghosted, you have to reach out to somebody and say you would like to see them again, and they have to not respond.
Exactly.
I think, like, yeah, you can be turned off by the fact that they're not as excited, but they didn't ghost you. Like, if you just said like basic pleasantries, like, I think that's on the little ghosting scale, like, thank you, or just like, how are you? I don't think that's enough to be ghosted. Like, I think that's, you know, people put their phones down and stuff. I think the second you say, I would love to see you again, like, what are you doing this week, and they don't respond to you, that's ghosting. And I think that is, after, like, a first date. But at the same time, like, in my little ghosting scale, there's also, like, a thing in there. It's like, are you an asshole for it? You're not an asshole for it. I think that's, like, a light ghosting. I think, like, a full blown ghosting, if you had sex, like, it's definitely a bit more, of an asshole move.
Yeah, for sure. Oh, I like that. It's like, is it ghosting? Yes or no? Are you an asshole? Yes or no?
Yeah, exactly. Because I think there's also just, sometimes it's like, ghosting just kind of happens. Like, I think there's a lot less people that sneak off into the night saying, like, I better get away from this person. And there's a lot more people saying, I'll get back to this person later. And then the texts pile up, the calendar piles up. And then all of a sudden it's like, holy fuck, I never got back to this person, and it's been a week. Like, that, I think that happens a lot more. And I think that's not even just with ghosting. I think that's with a lot of things in life where it's like, or a lot of things in dating where, you know, you kind of move forward, like, oh, cool. Like, they're having just as much fun as I am. They haven't said otherwise. Like, we hooked up, and all of a sudden they're like, I want this to be a relationship. And then it's like, whoa, wait a second. I didn't realize we were on that page. It wasn't, you know, some maniacal fuckboy trying to trick you into it. It was just kind of someone going with the flow. And I genuinely believe, like, people tend to think, like, you think the same way they do unless you tell them otherwise. And they assume you're having fun if you're there with them and you're having fun.
Agreed.
Agreed.
There is some sort of elaborate and evil premeditated, like, fuckboy plan. And I actually don't believe in fuckboys. Like, I don't think that's a thing. I think it's like one of my least favorite terms. It's like very obnoxious. And it's just like this, it's basically become this like catch-all term for like any guy who didn't want to become your fucking boyfriend. I think that's what people have, it's become that. Is there an elaborate like fuckboy plot like to conspire against you, and like they knew all along that they were gonna like go take you on 4 days and then like sleep with you and never contact you again? And it's like, no, like I think what you said at the beginning is so true. Men just know they're attracted to you or they're not attracted to you, and they're just like, it's literally like one date at a time. They just know they want to see you again, they want to see what happens, they want to sleep with you, they want to know what's going on. Like, I don't think that they're thinking like, and after I sleep with her, I'll never talk to her again, or at least very few are. I think more likely what happens is like they sleep with you and then like their horny anticipation like is gone, and they're like, wait, do I like her like as a person? And sometimes they don't, and it's exactly. Tough.
Oh, totally. And I think I did something on like what is a fuckboy, and I think like that type of discussion was like a misogynist magnet, so I haven't gone back to it.
Oh yeah.
But I think that it exists, but it's a very strict rules of what it is. I think there's two pillars of it. It's got to include some awareness. He has to know that what you want, and that it's more than he's willing to give. And there has to be a component of manipulation. Like he knows what he's doing. And he's like indicating he wants otherwise. I think those people are like truly, I think those people are truly rare. I think the guys that, you know, really just want to like have fun and, you know, hook up aren't thinking that far ahead. They're just out there meeting people. And, I think, yeah, the true definition of fuckboy, I think it's a lot more like manslaughter, not murder. Like, are guys being careless? Like, are they living in kind of that gray area fine print of like, you know, hey, like I did take her to brunch and like, you know, maybe she felt like it's a date and like, I don't know. But I think that's where it's like on the women's side, that's where the accountability piece comes in, like owning what you want and saying it. Like, I think that whole like fake empowerment, cool girl mindset of just like, oh, just go with the flow, pretend you don't care. It is like fucking people over. Like, I hate that mindset that, you know, people continue to pitch. It fully is.
The other thing is like people refuse to admit that they're sensitive. People refuse to admit that like they don't like it when they sleep with someone and don't hear from them again. They're like, it's cool, I'm fine with it. And it's like, well, every time it happens, you then decide that they're a manipulator. So like, which is it? Like, that's what I don't get. Like, I'm like, okay, if you know that you're a sensitive person and you can't handle it, if you sleep with someone and then they don't contact you or they ghost you or like you don't know where you stand with them after that, you can't, then you shouldn't sleep with people until you know where you stand with them. Like, that's just, you need to know yourself. You need to be like, if you're truly able to just like do whatever you want, then do whatever you want. And if you're not going to feel bad about it, of course, like, who cares? I don't give a fuck what anyone does. I'm more just like, if you are going to be distraught or like then like take issue with this person's character, if they don't want to become your boyfriend after sleeping with you, maybe then you need to wait until they are your boyfriend, or like you need to wait until like you feel comfortable. Like, I just don't, it's like, let's not play ourselves.
Totally. And I firmly believe like most dudes, if you'd say like, hey, like, you know, this is a big deal to me. And like, if, you know, I hate saying like, so I use the term consequence for this once, and people were like, don't use the term consequence. But like, if you introduce basically like a consequence of sorts where it's like, hey, you know, like sex is a big deal to me, and like, it would hurt me if like we went down this road and it went nowhere. Like, most guys would pause. I mean, would that mean you would never hear from that guy again? Like, it could, but like, to gain people, you have to be willing to lose people. And I think like, you can't like fuck your way into a relationship that wasn't going to happen. I don't know.
Yes, you can't. You really can't. But people think that you can.
Well, I can pretend I'm so cool. And then I'll be cool girl. Like,
I'll be so chill.
Like, I'm so chill. Like,
their eyes are like bugging out of their heads.
I can just be a crazy person. Oh no. Like, it didn't work out. Like, it just box theory.
There. Like, yeah. We've all been there. We've all been delusional. It's okay. But like, you just don't have to do it to yourself. And that's what I don't understand. It's like when I see people making the same decisions again and again and getting the same result, which is that they get butthurt, they get their feelings hurt. And then they're like, why are all men out to get me? Or like, why, you know, why is dating so awful? And it's like, if you don't have any like sense of yourself or like your feelings or your standards, and you not only that, but like, you don't know what they are, and you can't much less like uphold them or like tell people what it is that you want or need, or like communicate that through your actions, you will continue to get fucked. Like, you will continue to be like really hurt all the time. And you literally don't have to live that way, but like, people won't introspect. So it's like, you have to look at yourself. You have to be like, am I the common denominator? Like,
exactly. Like, if everyone around you like has issues, like, are you the problem?
Yeah.
It's hard to make those, like, it's hard to make those statements like on TikTok. I try to do them like as lightly as possible, just because like no one likes to be called a pick me by a brigade of like 22-year-olds who, you know, think the box theory is real. I don't know.
Yeah.
But like, I don't, it's so funny. And some, I've been called both, like, I don't, whatever the fuck those misogyny people call people. I've been called that and a pick me in the same video by, you know, the crazy 22-year-old influencer followers, whatever they are.
Yes.
It's just like, where's the fucking reasonable people anymore? Like, it's just like, what you do matters. And like, you can hurt people. Like, everyone has feelings. Like, I don't know.
TikTok is also just, it's so, you have to, and Jamie and I talked about this, you have to be so hyperbolic for anyone to even, to get any like engagement algorithmically. You have to be like,
oh yeah,
it has to be like, all this is this, no blank are blank. Like, it's just extremely like, you have to be so aggressive. My thing is like, you can't please everyone, like, you know, on TikTok or in real life, obviously. But I do think just in general on TikTok, it's like, I'm not going to like fight with people in the comments. Like, I will, if it's like a good point, I'll make a video because I think it's like, it's interesting and we should talk about it more. Mm-hmm. Like, I've had a lot of engagement on a video that I did about cheating, where I was like, to be frank, like, I do think it's stupid if you take someone back after they openly cheat on you because they were willing to lose you, or like, they were okay with the possibility of losing you. And like, that's not someone you want to be with. Mm-hmm. And of course, there's a lot of people in the comments who, like, it's very obvious, like, they've been cheated on and like, this hit home for them. And they're like, it's okay to stay with someone. And like, it's more complicated. It's like, okay, like, I don't need everyone to agree with me. I just think like,
exactly, just someone being like brutally honest with you. And like, I think that's valuable. I think there's a way to do it tactfully too.
Yeah.
And like, I think some people, of course, you see it on TikTok where it's like, just, you know, too far in the other direction to get like views and stuff. But yeah, I think there needs to be that honesty. I think like, if someone's openly cheated on you and like, you're taking them back, like, you know, what are you doing? Like, you know, what's the reason? Like, why? Like, what do you think is going to change? I don't know.
On TikTok, creator, I don't want to say influencers because I hate that word, but like, who are some creators that you really like, that you think are worth following? Like, who makes content that you enjoy?
Oh gosh. I think from a male standpoint, I love like Owen Moore. And I think he's coming out to Austin end of October.
Oh, cool.
So that'll be awesome. Just like a really good like male perspective that's not guy who bought microphone with his Christmas money, but still honest. Does a lot of good like short form stuff. I think he wants to start to get like more, a little bit more creative with it. We've talked about doing like Man on the Street, which will be fun. I do like Jamie's content a lot. The Texas Shen's a fun one. I don't agree with her on everything, but I like the takes. I love like the U Up podcast where it's like Jared and U Up. I think they're not as much on TikTok yet. Just they're just diving into it. Trying to think of who else. I love the Midwest matchmakers are great. If you follow them or they follow you, they're so much fun. They're like the top matchmakers in Midwest matchmaking.
Oh my god. Oh my god. Yeah, I don't know them.
They're so like, I think they're in Omaha, but they cover like Nebraska, Kansas City, and like they post just like fun stuff. And it's I think matchmakers do a great job because they know like all the dating trends, but like they've seen it change over time. They've, you know, talked to so many different people, and they just get creative and really fun with it.
I just followed them. I'm very curious to see this.
Oh, they're great. Courtney, who runs it, is just awesome. And the other women who work with her put good videos up too.
Have you ever done a matchmaker? Would you do a matchmaker?
I don't know. Cause I think one time I was like in a database, I forget what event they were signing people up at. But I got the email where it was like, you're in the database, and it was like somebody very high profile. It was like he was 40. I think I was 27 at the time. He was 40, like a CEO or a VP of product for like a tech company. And like, I kind of like did some digging and I recognized it. It was like, oh my God, this guy's a big deal. Like it was just a good picture of him, like exactly what he wanted. Like even though like they wouldn't be working for me as like the matchmaker, it would be, you know, this was a guy who, you know, was looking for, you know, a wife and to get married and start a family, which like, if you're looking for that and you're dealing with a bunch of people that are like on Hinge, Tinder, whatever, and like,
yeah,
I don't know if I want anything serious. It's kind of like, oh, this could be cool. I think on my own, I don't know. Like I, at this point in my life, probably not. But yeah, it was kind of cool to be like be in that database. I think the only thing that was like it was location, I think. Yeah, I still have like a California area code. So I think they thought I was like in LA, but yeah.
Oh, okay. Oh my God, interesting. I'm so curious about it. I've never done it. I am interested like to know more about it because I've never known anyone who's done it. So I feel like I should get a matchmaker on here and just like talk about the matchmaking process. So I can like Ooh. Learn more.
Midwest is great. I think like matchmaker, I don't know how busy matchmaker Maria, she was great. When I went on her podcast, but yeah, the Midwest matchmakers are awesome as well. And okay, I think they're like super open to collaboration. You would love Courtney. She's great.
Okay. I'm going to look them up. I'm really trying to get back on a better recording schedule. I just like do not have time, but I'm like, I'm doing it. Okay. All right. I would like to play a little game of Hot or Just in Charge for the listeners. Are you familiar with Hot or Just in Charge?
Yeah. It's like, are they just like a badass or are they hot? Like without
it's kind of like, it's like leadership. Like, are they hot? Are they actually hot? Or are they just like in charge of the situation or like of sometimes like the nation, or do they have that like in charge, like alpha, like would, you know, like it's a zombie apocalypse. This is your man. Like, are you making it?
Yeah. Oh, I feel like the two are so synonymous, but I think that'll make the game even more fun.
I agree. And then like hotness for me, hotness is not actually about like physical attractive. Like it is about physical attractiveness, but it's not about like, are you conventionally attractive or handsome? Mm-hmm. It's like more of a vibe. So like,
yeah.
For example, like I know conceptually, I understand that like Ryan Reynolds is hot or he's mm-hmm. attractive. I don't find him hot. Like I see that he's attractive, but I don't get it. I don't mm-hmm. feel the hot vibe.
Yeah, no, I'm the same way about like Ryan Gosling. I think yeah. he's not into it. Like
something's missing.
I don't know.
I agree. Okay, I've got three for you. First one, Daniel Craig, hot or just in charge?
Hot.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I think he's both.
Well, I mean both. Yeah. Okay. Both.
Okay. You can do hot, just hot, just in charge. Neither or both.
Both. I think he's
definitely both.
Both.
I feel like he's both. I was tempted to say like just in charge, but then I was like, no, he's pretty hot.
I love a silver fox. I do.
Yes. Okay. Next I have Christian Bale, hot or just in charge?
Both.
Okay. I think just in charge. I don't know why I think that. I don't find him that hot.
Depends what movie. Like I can't true. Do it. Any dude that's too, because I feel like I'm like kind of like curvy, where it's like I'm next to a guy who's too skinny. I just feel big.
Same.
Like, so it's like there's some movies where he's been like kind of skinny, but then there's some where it's like, okay, Batman, yeah, I would.
So hot in Batman. He's very attractive in Batman. Yeah, I agree. I'm like, I don't want to be like, my friend calls it Tiny Bird. She's like, I want to be Tiny Bird. And I'm like, I have to agree. Like, I want to be Tiny Bird. I don't want to be like, if like, I can't do like a Travis Barker and Kourtney Kardashian situation. He's like a little toothpick.
Yeah, not my type.
Speaking of hot or just in charge, Travis Barker.
Neither.
Okay.
Well, the thing is, he's not in charge of like Blink-182. They keep breaking up and like they're coming back on tour, but neither.
You're right. It's a mess. Yeah. He's not in charge. I get it. I see.
He's like, he's in no control over his life.
I feel that. You're right. He's not. I think Courtney's in charge.
Yeah.
All right. Last one I got for you, Robert Pattinson, hot or just in charge?
Neither. I don't know. Like, this sounds like so bad. Like, I guess Christian Bale is like British, but like, well, I guess so is Daniel Craig. I was going to be like,
oh my God, did I bring you all three? Three British, hot or just in charge?
Yeah, you brought me three British, but I was just, he's like too British, where it's just like, I don't know. Like, I feel like it's, I don't know. The whole, they like,
he's like pasty.
Yeah, like the pastiness, like I'm trying to think of like who is like my type. Like I'm like a big fan of like Yellowstone right now. Like all the men in Yellowstone, it's like that's more my vibe.
Agreed. I want like a big hot American dude.
Yeah, like that's more my vibe. Like Rip Wheeler, like just like strong but silent type, like not like your peak like guy. Rip, just like, you know, just in charge and also hot. Like that's more my type.
Okay, I like that. I think Robert Pattinson, I see that people find him hot. There have been times that I've found him hot, but I don't think he's in charge at all. I don't think he's in charge in any way. No. I don't know why I think that.
I could see, I think like every famous person, like people could definitely, I could definitely see like, well, people would see them as attractive, but like, yeah, I don't see him as in charge at all. Like, I feel like I've never like heard him like speak at an interview or like do his own thing. Like, it's all just like, okay, cool. Like, here I am floating around in Harry Potter. Like, I'm a Hufflepuff. Cool.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
What do you think is the most brutal truth about dating and relationships or about life or whatever you want that you think people are afraid to admit or accept?
And maybe this doesn't sound as brutal, but just 95% of the time, 99% of the time, the person that's sitting across from you isn't evil. They're going through life the same way you are. And yeah, like, I think if it doesn't work out, they're not a bad person. Decisions the same way you are. And I think a big part of that that comes with the person, you know, going through their own life too, is you've got to own your feelings. And if you don't, it's kind of your fault. I don't know.
I agree. We got to take responsibility for our actions. We don't like it, but we got to do it.
Exactly.
Yeah, I agree. Oh my God. Thank you so much. This is so fun. But guys, I'm trying to think of what else I was going to say. I'm completely forgetting. But yeah, tune in next week again for a brutal episode. It's either going to be 15 or 16, depending on what I fucked up at the beginning of this episode. I don't remember what it is. Thank you so much.
Woo.
Thank you.